Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and when New Yorkers talk about the city's financial health, they usually mean Wall Street. Today on Soundcheck, find out if policymakers are underestimating some other moneymakers, music, fashion, and the arts, coming up at 2 on 93.9 FM WNYC. So to your phone calls. Has Governor Spitzer lived up to your expectations? If you voted for him, as an overwhelming percentage of New Yorkers did last November, anything you want to react to in that interview that we did, specifically, what do you think about this driver's license issue and the way it all went down? What do you think about the so-called Troopergate? Has he done anything that has touched your life in any way as a resident of New York that isn't making the media and should? He did certainly mention that there are other things that he's done which are clearly real, and he listed them in that July op-ed piece that I referred to as well, where he apologized for the Troopergate stuff, which interestingly kind of seemed to deny in this interview. But health insurance expansion, investment in the schools, the campaign for fiscal equity settlement, the largest property tax cut in history, he said, ethics lobbying and campaign finance reform. I know he wants that to go further. Breaking the impasse for Ground Zero development, the big cut in workers' comp rates that he says will save the state businesses $1 billion. And he mentioned some other things coming up, higher education proposals coming in the next couple of months, et cetera, et cetera. So what is the big picture as far as you are concerned with Governor Eliot Spitzer? Are you disappointed? Has he met your expectations? You know, only 25% of New Yorkers in a new Siena poll say they would vote to reelect him. 25% after he got, what, like 75%. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Emma in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Emma.
Hello.
What do you think?
I just want to comment on the driver's license issue. While I disagree with the proposal, I just want to say that I do applaud the governor for coming up with the idea and then, if you will, having the guts to say, it's not a good time. It's not supported by the public, and I take it back and not pushing forward. I think there's very few politicians who are doing that anymore. So I do applaud him on that issue of retracting that idea.
Okay, Emma, thank you very much. Diego in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC. Hi, Diego.
I couldn't disagree more. He only backed off on the tax because he was getting hammered in the polls. This is an arrogant guy. He just said himself that because the editorial boards, when did the editorial board speak for the common man? People across the state have said we don't have anything to do with this policy, and he kept pushing and pushing until it did become intolerable. And a guy who supposedly has a 1590 SAT score doesn't remember if he spoke to someone from Hillary Clinton's staff, I ain't buying.
Did you vote for him?
I did. There was no opposition. What are we going to get, John Faso? I mean, let's keep it real.
Diego, thanks a lot. Nora in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nora.
Hi. I wanted to say that I think Governor Spitzer is fantastic. I voted for him. I guess I'm in the minority now, but I completely honor him for trying to get the licensing to happen. I think it's a brilliant idea. I don't know why people weren't ready for it, but obviously they weren't. I think that Joe Bruno is out to get him. I think that he's making his life almost impossible. And I think this whole Troopergate thing is ridiculous. I just think it's blown way out of proportion. I think he's a wonderful governor.
What about the politics of all this, though, that if Spitzer came in with all this political capital, rather than cajole Bruno into his camp on some of these things, like there's, like Bruno put up a big wall on campaign finance reform after Troopergate hit. He was trying to resist it before, but then he really put up a wall. Spitzer lost a lot of political capital, and you know, the steamroller that he said he was at the beginning of the administration can't roll anymore because now people are so kind of turned off.
Well, I think that's a real shame. I'm not a politician, so I don't know how you would get that momentum back again, but I think that people should take a breath, give him a break, and let him get on with the policies that we all elected him to do. You know, I think he's trying to fulfill his promises. I think he is a reform governor, and I think that people have to see that there are entrenched interests in Albany that don't want change.
Nora,
and they
Go ahead, finish up.
That they don't, that their entrenched interests, they don't want change. And when someone is trying to rock the boat, they're going to get smashed.
No.
And we just have to stay by him, insist that he stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
And
go forward. Nora, I'm going to move on. Thank you very much. What do you think of Governor Spitzer after 11 months and the interview that you just heard? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Daniel in Portchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Brian. I'd just like to say I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I don't always agree with you. I thought you were a little hard on the governor today.
I'm going to be hard on, you know, all the politicians that we interview, but go ahead.
Fair as always.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on the governor's stance on the campaign for fiscal equity. And I did a thesis paper on that case that was under appeal a couple years ago. I'm not sure how it was resolved. The governor seemed to think that the issue was resolved, but I'd like to know where that $12 billion has been allocated for New York City public schools and how he defended the state's position that an eighth grade reading level was enough for a basic and necessary education for New York City public students.
Well, I think it was the previous governor who said that an eighth grade education is sufficient, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true.
And that Governor Spitzer did not take that position. As far as where the money is actually going, I guess this is the first year that some of that money is being spent, and it'll be interesting to see if there's some accurate accounting for it over time. It's probably too early for that so far.
And I always wanted to hear more about it on the media because it was such a major reward or award for...
Yes, and it's a lot of money, so it's something that we better follow.
$12 billion plus.
Daniel, go ahead.
The voices of the people who need it, who have the ideas for the right places, I don't think have been heard enough yet.
I think that's probably a fair point, and it'll be interesting to hear from the school districts around the state that are getting that money, and parents and so forth, other stakeholders in public education, how well they feel that money is being spent once we can really account for that. Daniel, thank you very much. June in West Nyack, you're on WNYC.
I think the governor is terrific. He's trying to change a legislature that's recognized as one of the most politically corrupt and ineffective legislatures in the country. But the question that puzzles me, although I have some theories that I don't want to share, why is the mainstream media so opposed to the governor? Why don't they focus on Bruno, who politically is corrupt himself, personally?
Yes. Well, when you say the mainstream media, I mean, I think there are a few media outlets, notably the New York Post, some in the Daily News, and Lou Dobbs at the national level, who had an interest or have an interest in really going after the governor. And
well, you had someone on your show some weeks ago, a wonderful critic who writes for the Village Voice, who talked about
Wayne
this.
Barrett, probably,
and
right?
I called him afterward and left a message for
yes.
him because I thought he was so good. He raised these questions. Why isn't the media focusing on Bruno? Why do they allow Bruno to get away with all his corrupt acts over the years? Why are they focusing on the governor?
June, thank you very much. And Michael in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with a similar point, I think. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
All right.
I want to just preface what I'm going to say by saying that you're my single favorite show on NPR, the media. Whenever I'm in the car and I actually catch your show, I always find something fascinating.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
You bet. But what I wanted to say was I think that you might want to consider the way you framed the interview, because I think the thing that's most important for a politician is that they have the space to make an error. Because the only way you learn is by making a mistake and then, unlike our present administration, being able to see it, go on to something else, move something else. And I have to say that what Governor Spitzer has done in this last thing actually increases my faith in him, because the thing I was most concerned about the governor was that perhaps all the stuff I read in the media about his arrogance and his bullheadedness and his strongness and blah, 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 blah was in fact true. And if that were true, then no matter how smart he is or how good his heart is, then he won't be able to learn. And if he doesn't able is not able to learn, there's no way they're going to solve the problem.
Right. So, now, let me tell you my approach to it, and you can, you know, everybody can decide for yourself whether you think it was a good approach. Ask the very tough questions that needed to be asked after a major debacle, and it was a major public relations debacle for him. It was a policy failure. It was a political failure. It was a failure that ensnared the Clinton campaign and cost her and made them furious at him. We have, of course, debated here in the past, as you probably know, in great detail and over many segments, the merits of the actual driver's license plan.
Agreed.
And I also then, but I also tried to give him some space and some context, because this is not the only thing that's happened in his administration. And I let him list, and then in my recap, I listed some of the other accomplishments, especially from early on before the whole so-called Trooper Gate broke and this thing happened, so that people can try to look at the administration so far as a whole. But that doesn't negate, you know, what went on here, and that I think it's my responsibility to you and to the other listeners to ask him tough questions about it.
I agree, but just if I may, last thing.
Please.
They were tough questions around the narrative of, is he a tough guy? Is he not a tough guy? Is he a good politician? And yes, that is a very interesting question and very engaging, and there are many, many people who are interested in the politics. But politics is not real life. And by forcing him into that narrative in a very responsible way, because, in fact, that's what everybody's talking about, because that's the story that the media loves. And it's an interesting story a lot of times.
And I agree with you that it is important to, and I think we try to do it here, separate the political discussions from the policy discussions. And
yes,
I certainly agree with you that the media get unbelievably obsessed, and frankly it disgusts me, unbelievably obsessed with the horse race and the political campaigns and the politics of who's up and who's down, generally to the exclusion of policy discussion. This today was primarily a political interview with Governor Spitzer.
I think that's exactly right and totally consistent with the reason that I love your show. I just want you to be careful not to fall into that trap, because as you get more and more and more popular, which I think NPR is growing by leaps and bounds and is really becoming in certainly mainstream for, you know, 15 or 20 million people in the United States, that you don't fall into that trap. And so just keep up the great work.
And Michael, keep calling and holding my feet to the fire, okay?
Okay.
Thanks
bye-bye.
A lot. And Giovanni in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Giovanni.
Good morning. I just want to repeat the same thing the other caller said. I listen to your program every day. I mean, it's very informative for me. As far as the governor's position, I mean, I don't think enough attention has been drawn to the fact that this man, in putting forward the driver license question, was eminently correct in what he was trying to do, and logical, and coincided with a policy that was put forth by Homeland Security. I mean, I think everybody's point acknowledges that there is, like he was saying, 14 million people here that we don't know about. In any way to affect that situation and change it could only be to our benefit.
And I think that's part of the education. And he really acknowledged this, I think, in a pretty straightforward way. He acknowledged the fact that he just anticipated wrong about what the public reaction would be.
But that only happened because people like Lou Dobbs and the other people, I believe, using rhetoric as a discriminatory device.
But remember that, I mean, look, the difference between this and Pakistan is that the opposition has been put under house arrest in Pakistan.
Correct.
And the media has been shut down. Here, though it's rough and tumble, Lou Dobbs is going to be out there. The New York Post is going to be out there. And, you know, that's a free society.
That's true.
Even with its excesses. And he has got to navigate those waters.
He does. And maybe he's done poorly. But I think media has got a responsibility to distinguish between what is rhetoric, what is discriminatory, and what is in fact. And that didn't happen.
And there are a lot of people who just think that, there are those security concerns that were maybe legitimate on the governor's part. But a lot of people just feel that they don't want to legitimize the people here illegally by giving them an official document.
Well, that then he handled the publicity on that wrong, because there is certainly something that coincides with what the national government is trying to do to address that problem. And there's a whole big other question of why they're here in the first place in the Bush document, doctrine on immigration. I just want to make one comment about Troopergate, if I would, too.
Yeah, real quick.
Well, on Troopergate, the question is not Joe Bruno and the fight between Spitzer and Joe Bruno. And I don't know why the media hasn't focused on the fight between the governor and the attempt by the attorney general and Shelley Silver in the assembly to embarrass this man. That's where the real issue is.
Well, I think my perception is that Silver has pretty much lined up with him, at least for the moment, with respect to the attorney general. You may be right, and there's been competition between them. And again, as political analysis, people say that he wants to run for governor in 4 years. But thank you for your call. Ross in Stony Brook, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ross.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I just want to make a point that I applaud the governor from the perspective that anything he can do to change the stranglehold that the New York State Legislature has had on New York for years, I applaud him for that. But he just doesn't get that the arrogance he had when he patronized Mayor Bloomberg and calling him morally, factually, ethically, et cetera, wrong. It's just an example of how arrogant he is, and he doesn't know how to handle the politics in a correct way. And the second fact is that I think most New Yorkers do not want to enable illegal immigration in any way, shape, or form. And the governor is wrong on this position. It's not just a matter of education of the public.
I think people in New York, different from some other parts of the country, have been more than happy to look the other way, for the most part, at illegal immigration. And it was, I still think, this idea of an official credential to be in the country that you know, people thought could be used as a cedar document to get other documents, et cetera. It was that official, you're here illegally, but we're going to give you this that officially legitimizes you in the country. I think that just for a lot of people, whether you or I agree with that or not, for a lot of people, that just kind of crossed the line.
It crossed the line, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think that it just it gave too much credence to the illegal immigrant population. And I, again, I agree that people are willing to turn the other way in some perspectives. And I have some sympathy for these folks if they're just trying to survive like the rest of us. But there's a whole range of issues that are affecting the American public, from effect on our hospitals and our education system that illegal immigration is impacting in a negative way.
Ross, thanks a lot for your call, and thanks to all of you who called on Governor Spitzer. Judging from our lines, we could go on with this for a long, long time, but you can go on with it if you want on the comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we continue in a minute on characters from novels that have lives of their own, or so it seems, after the novels are put to bed, like, say, Dumbledore. Stay with us.